Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
So anyway, we're going to go ahead and get started this morning, and we're going to take a look at, let me see here, had it working. Ah, okay. How about that? You got the whole message here. All right, we're good. Oh, okay. Cool. All right. Well, let's go ahead and start with, start in the book of John. This is Jesus speaking, talking to his disciples. These are actually some parting words in what we'd call his farewell address to his disciples, in that he was just about to go to the cross before he gave them all these wonderful instructions. If you ever get a chance, you ever want to see a lot of red in your Bible, you know, Jesus' words are written in red in a lot of our Bibles, take a look at John 14, 15, 16, 17. It's pure red, and it's powerful instruction to his disciples that's really carry over to the church today in his parting words that we can look at and glean from and just be amazingly inspired and encouraged by. Well, this is part of that farewell address. John chapter 16, verse 23, it says, "And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full." He doesn't even say that you may receive what you're asking for. He said, you're going to ask and you receive that your joy may be full. That's interesting. And New Living says, "You haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy." You know, there is a joy in answered prayer that exceeds the thing that you're praying for. There's just something about praying and seeing God show up on the scene and changing things and responding to our prayers that causes our joy to be full. Within that answered prayer, there is a sense of intimacy with God. There's a sense of his love, his presence, and his care. And just exactly what Jesus said would happen happens. Our joy is full. It's just something, it's like another evidence of your living, walking fellowship with God. So there's a connection between joy and prayer. You know, when Jesus did what he did, and we talked about this a little bit on Christmas Eve even, going to the cross, dying for our sins, really that act of redemption was part of a larger picture because we didn't start out in sin. We started out in a garden. We started out in fellowship with God. We started out naming the animals, walking in the cool of the day. We started out with something amazing. And then, of course, because sin entered through our transgression, you know, sin came, our bodies began to die. Took a while at first, but bodies began to physically die. And we knew that we were separated from God. It happened right away. God said, "In the day you eat it, you will surely die." Well, they didn't die physically, but in that day they ate it, they ran scared and naked, and they knew they were naked, and they were ashamed. That was the death they experienced. It was that spiritual separation where they used to be able to confidently wait for God Almighty to come and walk in the cool of the day with them. They didn't have that sense of right standing with God. They couldn't. They had to run away. And really, ultimately, that's what Jesus did. That's what we call righteousness. The functional purpose of righteousness isn't some religious haughty thing that I can say I'm righteous. The functional purpose of righteousness brings me back to the garden so that I can stand in the presence of Almighty God and be able to talk to him again. Jesus restored what we lost in the garden. He restored fellowship. And that's really the joy of being able to pray. When you begin to think of prayer in terms of fellowship, a lot of times we'll compartmentalize it off as a duty or a responsibility or an obligation. But really, when we think of prayer, we should think of the garden. It's what we really lost, that fellowship with God. And here, Jesus describes in Revelation, and really he's talking to a church of believers, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." New Living says, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." And really, that knock is something that we hear in our hearts. And it's that knock, that call to stop and pray and talk to God. And when we can hear that knock and we can just think, not now, not later, tomorrow, and he's staying at the door and he keeps knocking. And we're trying to get our stuff done. We're trying to get through our to-do list. We're trying to do a lot of different things. But the answer and the joy and what we need to get through our to-do list and the direction we're looking for comes as we let him in, as we just allow him to come in. And I just love the way the New Living puts it. "I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." And this is apparently not some arduous task that Jesus depicts our fellowship time together. And so as we say prayer and as we think about prayer, I want you to just insert, replace if you have to, you know, it depends on your connotation of prayer. If it's duty, almost, you know, obligatory, then yes, replace it with fellowship and see it in a fresh new light this morning. And really what I want to minister along the lines of is the joy of prayer and prayer being fellowship with God. And just thinking about prayer as fellowship with God. When I'm praying, I can pray because Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Now I have peace with God through my Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a throne of grace that I can come before and let my requests be made known unto God. That was all done through the heavy lifting of the cross and the work that Jesus did. He died, rose again, not just so that we can go to heaven one day, but that we can have and enjoy a prayer life right now and begin to talk to him and just begin to see prayer in a different light. The joy of prayer. This is my garden time. I'm talking to God. And so as we're thinking about it, we're reflecting this morning on prayer. Again, I just want to really, really bring out just the fact that this is not duty. This is the blood-bought, purchased opportunity to be able to hang out with God. You know, we talk about a few different things in Scripture. You talk about prayer, and another big one is evangelism. Those are probably two words that can incite guilt in the heart of many believers. And I know what that is. Pray, I should be praying. I'm not praying enough. Sharing my faith. Oh boy, I can't remember the last time I led someone to the Lord or shared my faith. Prayer and evangelism. Evangelism, prayer. They're both very much in the Word of God, very much scriptural things that we're to be a part of. And I'm excited because this year, I just feel like God is bringing both of those things to the forefront. Prayer and evangelism. Prayer and sharing our faith. And I just feel like this year, there's going to be some real forward progress as we go into the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, get past the guilt, the prayer guilt and the evangelism guilt, and begin talking to God again and sharing our faith again with peace and joy and part of our Christian life and Christian walk. That those words don't scare us, but they are a rich part of why we enjoy being Christians. Is there anything more satisfying than being used by God and knowing you've been used by God to say something into somebody's life and you see that it has an impact and a difference? Or having that time where you're just hanging out with God and talking with God and you're in fellowship with God and you know you're in fellowship with God. There's nothing like that. You can see why the enemy scares us away from those things. Because it's what a lot of times are so connected with our first love. When you first come to Christ, you know, you don't know much. And you know you don't know much. And you don't even have a spiritual ego. You don't even know what a spiritual ego is. All you know is that Jesus loves you. That's it. You're just kind of happy-go-lucky and just doing things. Man, you're witnessing, you're telling people about this love, and you haven't even experienced persecution yet at this point. You may have been on the other side of it, but you're just, it's real. And praise God, that's where Scripture says, return to your first love, where you don't have those inhibitions, and just begin to enjoy fellowshipping and talking and sharing your faith. And I just feel like, you know, this year, God's bringing us back to that place of first love. It's not an immaturity, okay? It's, we still maintain our maturity in the Word and our understanding and walking in love and different things like that, but we're walking with a first love where there's a trust in God. The spiritual chips are going to come off our shoulders, and we're going to trust God again to share our faith and to begin to talk to Him and to know that He loves us, that He's for us. So we're talking again this morning about the joy of prayer. And I just really, this isn't going to be a long message this morning. I just really want to go through some basic points of a joyful prayer life, what it looks like in real life, where faith meets real life. Where does faith meet real life as it relates to our prayer and the joy of prayer? First of all, the joy of prayer, and this is not religious again in a sense of duty and obligation. This is prayer that was bought for us. This is garden praying that was made possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing about this kind of prayer is you can be yourself. You can be yourself. In fact, it's amazing how emphatic the Lord Jesus Christ is about not being religious, about being ourselves. These are some instructions that He gave. He said, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, your garden, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words." You know, this was how Jesus actually set up the Lord's Prayer. It's amazing some of the things we've done with the Lord's Prayer. We've kind of went against everything He just got done telling us before He gave us the Lord's Prayer. Just pray this prayer 50 times and everything will be done. He just got done saying don't use vain repetition. In other words, it's not the number of times that God is doing tally marks and, you know, He's going to be really impressed when we get to 50. No, He's saying it's not going to be about being seen. You're going to pray in a way that's not about being seen by men. And you're going to be praying in a way that's not going to be about your personal effort where you feel like you've merited something. It's going to be something special. It's going to be a secret place. It's going to be a shut door. It's going to be you and Him. It's going to be an intimate thing. You know, a lot of times we can almost, you know, hear about, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? We can kind of hear it almost so much we get inoculated to the fact that this came from Jesus. This is His heart. He wants us to have a personal, and it doesn't mean that I just get the salvation message. That's how I got saved. But it's when I begin to talk to God that I begin to actually cultivate relationship. Believing on Jesus is what got me born again. You can be born into a family, but the relationship in that family is going to be based on the dialogue and the talking that you have in that family. Same in a spiritual family too. You're born again into a spiritual family, but Jesus is saying, go shut your door, go in that secret place. I love how the message puts it. It says, and when you come, this is the same scripture, 5-6. When you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom. Do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there as simply and honestly as you can manage. The focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. And all of us have experienced that at some point or another, where you realize the rat-tat-tat and the obligation and all that. Now, we're talking about the joy of prayer. This is the joy of prayer. It doesn't mean your problems are fixed, but all of a sudden it's like there's a separation that takes place. You know, we talk a lot of times at Door of Life, we emphasize the fact you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body, right? What got brand new on you was your spirit man. You became a new person. Your mind didn't automatically straighten up. Your mind didn't become new. That's in the process of being renewed, okay? But your spirit is a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's talking about your pneuma, your spirit. Your psuche, your soulish part, is a work in progress, being transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we're all on that spectrum somewhere as we're learning to grow. And then we've also got our body, too, that we're living in. And your body is your body. It's a mortal body. Thank God the power of the Spirit can put to death the deeds of the body and the passions and the desires, but it is a battle that we fight. And so you've got the voice of your body, you got the voice of the enemy, you got different things that are going on. And when you come into prayer, you got stuff, you got your life. But when this happens right here, in other words, your focus just shifts to God, there is something special. All the theological, beautiful language about God loving you and being there for you and all that, you begin to sense the reality of that in your spirit. And it's like, okay, I'm not trying to work anything up, no theatrics, not trying to impress God. I'm here to just simply speak my heart, to express my heart before God. It's that garden place. It's your garden time with God. And again, I love just how it is. The focus will shift. And pretty soon, it is amazing how the Holy Spirit does that. Because when we come into the place of prayer, many times our focus is on our own abilities, or the things that we don't know and all that stuff. But when we begin to focus on God, even like in praise and worship this morning, the focus gets on God. All of a sudden, there's a separation that takes place in that focus. And all of a sudden, I'm just objectively beginning to pray. The issues and the things that are in my heart, just getting what's in me out. And so there is a freedom then to be yourself. You don't have to be phony. You don't have to be showy. Jesus had a great little parable that he used to illustrate this. He said, he also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Here you can see kind of the role-playing that Jesus warns against here. You know, don't be tempted to role-play, but go into that place and begin to speak from your heart. You know, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's something about the Holy Spirit that gives you the ability. You see, we live in a world that rationalizes and self-justifies and points to everything. It happened in the garden, right? As soon as, you know, God says, Adam, what have you done? He points to the woman. He said, what woman, what have you done? She points to the serpent. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. And this is the battle that we all fight. That pride is not a personality type. It's the condition of the flesh. Y'all got it. Y'all deal with it. And that's the powerful thing about prayer, is that when you feel that frustration and unfair and unjust, all of a sudden in the presence of God, in the presence of prayer, you just say, you know, I'm weak and I need help. It's just hard to forgive. It doesn't matter how I justify my anger. It doesn't matter how I rationalize it. It's bad. I need help, God. I need help. I need your grace. And then all of a sudden, he'll just bring that scripture into your mind. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, except what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. And the Word of God and the Spirit of God will go to work in your heart. And all of a sudden, it's not about what they did or about what you did or about how things look. It's only about one thing. The focus shifts from you to God, to His grace. And you're there saying, I can't live this life in my own strength. And God is saying, yes, that's right. All right, now we can do something. And when you, in that moment, when you're in the secret place and you're just talking about stuff in your heart and you're just being real, being yourself. That's really the joy of prayer. You can be yourself. In other words, I'm not putting on airs. I got some problems in this area. I've got some problems and God already knows it. All things that are naked and open for him, he knows it, and you know that he knows it. And to be able to go into that. And again, what am I doing? I'm seeing this as green pasture, still water time. This is where I'm getting things right. And it's not always in this context of getting things right or coming from a heavy place. There's a lot of times you're coming from a happy place. You're saying, praise God, Lord, thank you. Praise, thank you for using me. Thank you for helping me. Thank you for showing me things to come. All of a sudden, you're just talking and it's flowing and it's coming out of you. And it's one of those things that gets stronger and stronger as the more you talk, the more you look to him. But it's something where God himself doesn't want the role playing. He wants to keep it real, right? Keep it real, and he wants us to keep it real with him. He doesn't want us to pretend we're at a place that we're not. He wants us to be honest about where we're at so that he can help us. So the joy of prayer, number one, it's like the garden. I can keep it real here. I can just be who I am. I'm not role-playing. I'm not putting on airs in prayer. Here I am, raw and unfiltered God, and he can handle it. And number one is, as you're enjoying prayer, is not only, you know, can you be yourself, but you got to realize God loves to hear your voice. A lot of times we think about God in terms of God wanting to hear from us or interact with us or talk with us based on how we're doing. But we lose sight of the fact that God just loves you. He loves you as his child. That's a different deal, isn't it? Your child can be going through stuff, but as a parent, you just want your child to be able to talk to you and be on talking terms and for your child to be able to express what's in their heart to you. That's the most important thing. Even if they're going through stuff, as long as they're able to express, there's a joy of fellowship and communication that just from a heart that's open than a closed heart. And that's what God, when we think of our stuff, we think, oh, well, I'm going to impress God. He's knocking at the door. I don't want to open that door quite yet. It's a messy place in here. But I'm going to kind of get things cleaned up and then I'll open the door. But no, God wants to hear our voice right now because he loves us as children. Here's a great scripture. Jesus said, Matthew 7:7-11, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It doesn't even say, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who are his children? That's not enough. Those who ask him. Ask, seek, knock. Do you know you do not have any moral obligation to explain every unanswered prayer before you can ask? You don't have to explain all the why God questions before you can boldly ask. I boldly ask because he's commanded me to ask, to seek, and to knock. He isn't squeamish about me asking and seeking and knocking. He wants to hear my voice. He wants to hear me ask him. He wants me to come before his throne and begin to ask and fellowship. We can get caught up in so much almost like theological, political stuff. You can get into an arena of political correctness in the area of theology where you're every bit as much orientating what you do and don't do around the feelings of people rather than what's truth and right. It happens in the church. Ultimately, you go back to the word and say, it is written, the just shall live by faith. Praise God. By his stripes I was healed. God is for me. These are things that God, by his Spirit, will take you back and you begin to pray and seek and ask. And a lot of times you stay away from that place of prayer because you're playing these games in your mind and it's like theological checkmate. And I just don't know how to pray and ask God anything anymore. I'm just kind of, if I pray this, it might offend that person. If I pray this, it might offend that person. They might think I'm presumptuous, You don't even have a relationship with God anymore. It's just playing games. Theological, political correctness. It's important to be scripturally correct. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to His will, His word, we know that He hears us. If we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we've desired of Him. Yeah, but what about this, this, and this, and this, and this, and this person who thought they prayed according to His word, da-da-da-da-da. You know, you don't have to answer all that. It's not even your department. You're not the head of the church. There is an answer. It's your job to just do what He told you to do. When the Son of Man returns, will He find faith on the earth? Yes, He will. He will find people still taking Him at His word, not critically judging people whose prayers aren't answered. It doesn't mean that you're guilty of that because you're taking a bold, strong stand for faith according to what the Word of God says. You don't have to be afraid of people's accusations, because one day we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and give an account to Him for the deeds done in the body. And I don't want to be there with the accusing finger. No, I want to be there and saying, Lord, I did what I saw in Your word, and I did it to the best that I knew how. That's my heart. That's my desire. There's a joy in prayer when God just wants to hear your voice, and you know He wants to hear you. He wants to hear the words of your mouths declaring these things to Him. Psalm 103 puts it this way: as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we're dust. Praise God. The Message says, as parents feel for their children, God feels for those who fear Him. He knows us inside and out, keeps in mind that we are made of mud. Boy, there's a great revelation. Not only do we know our weaknesses, but God also knows our weaknesses as well. He knows that we're working in sinful, mortal bodies. He knows the battle we're up against. Jesus became one of us. He's walked that mile in our shoes so that He could be a sympathetic and merciful high priest, being touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He remembers, He gets us. But I love the way that verbiage is, that there's a shared feeling. He knows, He cares. And when we're talking to God, you know, we got to, again, just be honest with where we're at. But as you're talking to God, just realize He's excited to hear your voice the way you just love to hear your child's voice. Even if they're not expressing everything right, they're talking. And it's like, I can work with that. I don't need it to be perfect. I just got a text yesterday from Lindsay with Owen saying hi, okay? There's an H in there, and there's an exhaling in there. But if you listen closely, you can hear hi. And that's the way a parent feels for their children. Even if you sense they're trying to talk, you're excited about that. Right? As a father pities, you know, his children, the Lord pities. You know, it's humbling yourself under His mighty hand to just try. It's humbling yourself, and you're just saying, God, just help me to get what's in me out. I just help me. Even in talking to You, Lord, I just help me to just get the things that are in me out, to say it and to express my heart to You, Lord. I just look to You, Lord. There is something in that. And but what's the point here? The point is that God loves to hear your voice. It's one thing for you to have a theology of healing or a theology of God's direction or a theology of that. But really, theology in of itself is like the wooden Pinocchio. All right? Theology is, that's why I like to kind of represent it. Theology in of itself is like the wooden Pinocchio that's on strings. But when you begin to pray what you believe and put your heart on the line and say, God, I'm trusting You for healing for this situation, and feeling no moral obligation to have to answer all the what ifs and all that, just say, God, I'm just trusting You. Here we go. And even in my own situation, things that I don't understand that haven't happened to me or haven't worked out right, but here we go, Lord. I'm just trusting You, no condemnation for not having received. I'm just simply with childlike faith talking, asking. Maybe I got questions about it. Just beginning to express my heart. What about that? Help me to know. Help me to understand. Bring me to a place of faith to where I can look to You and trust You. Beginning to just navigate. What is this? This is just dialogue. This is just talking to God. God loves honest questions. He's not expecting you to have to have some imposed belief because your church believes that. You know, I went to a church that believed in healing long before I believed in healing. I had to work that one out in my own heart and faith. It took me a while to work through some of those things and to just get to a place of freedom to where I don't have to solve the world's problems to receive my healing. I can just trust God and ask Him. And there are some things that I got questions about, things that took longer or shorter or whatever, but you know what? I'm just free. Or maybe I'm talking about, it's amazing, the theme of healing is coming up. Not by design, by me planning this morning, but God is speaking a word of healing. All right, well, that's good. Praise God. And that there is a, you know, whatever that is, I can just begin to talk through it in my heart, my mind. But what I'm saying is your theology is a wooden Pinocchio. When you begin to declare and put your heart on the line, Pinocchio becomes a boy. And theology isn't in a book somewhere. It's coming through your life, and it's coming through your body, and it's coming through your eyes and your words and your actions, and it's being lived out. But that starts in the secret place, when you're taking what you believe, your doctrine, and you're beginning to pray and beginning to ask and beginning to work out those things and questions and the issues that are in your heart. And so there is, in a joyful prayer life, the ability to be yourself, knowing that God just wants to hear your voice. And He isn't going to be, you know, critical. Again, He's not going to be, you know, shaming you for not dotting every I and crossing every T. He's going to work with you where you're at. That's the joy of a joyful prayer life, just knowing that He wants to hear me talk. And I can just start wherever. And have you done that before? You kind of start off in prayer just haphazard. And before you know, you kind of hit a flow and you hit a vein and you begin to go in there. Well, we'd all like to start there, but usually it doesn't work out that way. We just start by faith. We just start talking and share from our heart. And a lot of times you're in that place and God will bring you to scripture or maybe something that happened. And all of a sudden you begin to pray things out. And before you know it, you're dialoguing, you're fellowshipping with God. Not only does that happen, but as you're in that secret place, you do begin to pick up things. You get things back from Him. And then you begin to pray out what you're getting in your spirit, what you're getting in your heart. It's not a role-playing thing. It's just you and God. Nobody's even there but you and Him. But you're beginning to express. You see, we serve a risen, living Savior, but He's invisible with our natural eye. It's a pretty powerful, amazing thing. We get a lot of flack from the world for serving an invisible God to our natural eye, whom having not seen yet, we rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Blessed are those who haven't seen but still believe. And so we have this living relationship with God that comes out in that place of prayer. And then finally, we just start talking. We just simply start talking from our heart. Philippians 4, 6 through 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Have you ever done that before? You go into that place of prayer with a lot of heavy stuff, and as you begin to pray, you're just simply letting your requests be made known unto God. I liken this a lot of times, especially this time of year, and the holiday times of year, where you got all these things that you're having to do now. And a lot of times you'll find out that there's a certain peace of mind that you can get simply by writing out a list instead of trying to keep track of it in your head. Just seeing it on paper is just a little less intimidating than trying to keep track of it all in your head. And so this is a lot of what that's like. When you're letting your request be made known unto God, it's not that you're writing it on a piece of paper, but you're doing something with it. You're casting your care over on the Lord. I don't know the answer to this, but I know one thing about this. I've acknowledged God with this. I've acknowledged God. I've let my request be made known unto God. God, I need help here. God, I need strength here. God, I need direction here. I'm simply acknowledging it before God. I'm getting what's in my heart out, and I'm getting it cast on Him because He's able to care for me. He bears those things. And when that thing happens, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. You go out of that place of prayer with just as many questions as you had going in, but there's a peace now that passes your understanding. Would you know what you're going to do about it? No, but I've prayed about it. And there's a substantive presence of the peace of God that'll just keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. It passes your understanding. It's greater than your understanding. And all I know one thing is that I've prayed. And you can have that, again, same thing in the natural. A lot of times, I got all these things that I got to do. Is it on my list? Okay, it's on my list. Good. I'll get to it. I mean, it's there. All right. I don't have to worry about not doing it at all because I got it on my list. And that's the same supernatural piece that happens when we're just letting our requests be made known unto God. Have I prayed about this? You would be amazed at how many things you worry about that you really haven't really prayed about. I've done that before so many times. It's like, well, have I prayed about this? Yeah. Have I really prayed and really trusted God? I've talked about it. I've fellowshipped about it. I've talked with my brother and sister in the Lord about it, but have I really stopped and prayed about it? These are areas where you just begin talking. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Love this, that connection. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. What is this? This is garden stuff. This is garden talk. I mean, if you're looking at this in a non-garden perspective, that would be a bummer. I got to have a prayer. I'm going to pray. I always pray. Prayer time. Yeah, it's a whole different perspective than just militaristic, obligatory prayer time. It is fellowship time. You're just in a continual place of fellowship. You see one little thing. You might see something that blesses you, and you just kind of, in your heart, you know, you have to make a big show of it, of course, and you say, thank you, Lord. Wow, that's just beautiful. Just the light on the snow, it's amazing, Father. Thank you. Just joy. The beauty of your creation. And what is it doing? It's just keeping you tuned in. Just keeping you plugged. And there's a connection of joy there. Praise God. So this fellowship with God, it's where you're getting to know Him. You're getting your own relationship with God. And I'll tell you, that's the best relationship. You know, let me say this. God doesn't want you to have somebody else's relationship with Him. God wants you to have your relationship with Him. Your relationship. You can think, well, I wish I had their relationship with God. Well, it's good to want to grow in your walk with the Lord, but God wants you to have a unique relationship with Him. That includes your sense of humor. That includes your history and your life. That's unique. You know, each one of us, the scripture says in Revelation, you're going to receive a white stone with a name on it that only you and God know. That's interesting, isn't it? There's an intimacy that He has with. We know that He knows the number of hairs in our head and all that other cool, intimate stuff, but it really is an intimate thing. And there is nothing like having that special, intimate relationship with God. And the same presence that you get in that intimate is the same one you experience corporately. Same spirit, and yet unique, yet special and individual to you. You know, and just to be honest with where you're at, don't try to be hooked up on a level that you're not with God. If it's gaga goo goo, then gaga goo goo in prayer. Praise God. I wouldn't want for, you know, Abby to look at how Whitney talks to me and then try to imitate exactly how Whitney talks to me. No, I want Abby to be a six-year-old. I want her to talk to me like a six-year-old. And I want to respond to her like a six-year-old. You know? And likewise with Whitney as well. That dynamic in action that we have together, right? I don't want Whitney interacting like a six-year-old, you know? It's a different paradigm. Same children, love them, but Whitney has a more mature, developed relationship with her dad, and she can pull on things in her dad that isn't even in Abby's vocabulary right now. But it's no shame to Abby. She's just growing up. You're growing up. We're just growing up spiritually. The most important thing is that we're at where we're at, and that we're honest with where we're at. And the joy of prayer is being able to just be where you're at and begin to talk with what she can. You know, the Bible talks about even prophecy, how a person will prophesy according to his ability, according to their understanding spiritually, according to the vocabulary that they have. It's just there. And so it's not a pressure thing. It's really a time of just beginning to talk, beginning to unleash your tongue by faith and let Him begin to speak to you. And this is one of my favorites too, Matthew 11. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And that's what a really good prayer life is like. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. That's the passage. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek, lowly in heart. And that's the way He is. In other words, if I said something in prayer, praise God, I know that He has His love walk toward you is amazing. You talk about somebody who can suffer long and be kind. He can be that way and is that way with you in prayer as you begin to put your heart out there. So I can begin talking. Even if I talk and say something that's wrong, there is no condemnation there. God will guide you. He'll show you. When God corrects you, it's so different than when people are condemning you. When you do or you say something wrong and it's met with condemnation, There is, that's wrong, that's bad. You're, you know, in a sense, that shame on you. How could you? How dare you? When you do something wrong in the presence of God, God will show you that that's wrong. And you'll see that it's wrong. And you go, oh, yeah, okay, that's what that means. Every man's way is right in his own eyes. I didn't realize I was doing that. I see that I was doing that. He shows you things, not in a condemning way, in an instructive way. You go, yeah, okay, cool, I see that. Yep, I get it. I get it. All right. He's a good father. And he corrects in a way that is instructive. It's like, yeah, cool. There is nothing. I'll tell you, that's where breakthroughs come. The reason why we don't have breakthroughs sometimes is because we keep repeating the same mistake because we're not seeing something. We've justified things on a level, and all of a sudden, okay, no, I see it. I'm changing because I see something. And there's a breakthrough because I see it. Not somebody going, shame on you. You shouldn't. That's not anything what I'm talking about. It's God saying, look, learn the unforced rhythm. I'm not going to lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Condemnation is very heavy and ill-fitting. But there's a truth that makes free that comes when we spend time with him. And so this morning, again, just an exhortation this morning on the joy of prayer. These are one of the themes that I just know in my heart is going to be coming up. And we say prayer, I just really want you to begin to think garden fellowship, time with God. And that's what Jesus died on the cross for him, for me, so that I could have a prayer life, so I could have my garden time back, so that I could hang out. And I don't think of it as an obligatory man. I just think of it as, praise God, here we go. I can be myself, right? Whether I've had a good day or a bad day, I can talk to God. And I can know as I'm just being myself, I know that he wants to hear me. Whether I've been a good little boy or a bad little boy, good little girl or a bad little girl, he wants to hear your voice. He wants to maintain dialogue with you. He is not giving you the cold shoulder. He is not making you have to jump through some hoops so that he'll talk to you again. He isn't that. He pities you. He has a feeling for you like a parent and a child. And there's mercy and grace in our time of need. He's not playing the silent treatment in our time of need. He is there with mercy and grace to help in our time of need. That's why we get so conditioned to natural love. It takes faith to break away from those patterns and really believe that he loves us supernaturally. This is the evidence, of course, that we have 2,000 years ago, but we've got to allow that evidence to continue in our hearts and minds today. God, you want to hear my voice, and I'm just going to, by faith, begin talking. Again, whether it's a 2-year-old talk or a 12-year-old, whatever it is, you just begin talking from your heart, and the Spirit of God will bring it into line. He'll bring a flow to it. But the bottom line is you'll be talking with God again, which is the most important thing, and it's a joyful place. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. There's nothing like being in fellowship with God and knowing you're in fellowship with God. Well, Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning over this precious congregation, over Door of Life Christian Church, for the joyful prayer life, for the garden place restored, that we can pray without ceasing, that this exists everywhere we are, that we can always open our heart, open our mouth, and just talk to you. No pretense, knowing that we're talking to a Heavenly Father, even if we begin to say, da-da, or you see into it, you're hungry for fellowship. For our pleasure, for your pleasure, we were created to have fellowship with you, to walk and talk in that garden. And you've restored the garden. Lord, help us to know, to believe you want to hear our voice, our questions, our concerns, our anxieties, our loves, our hates, our confusion. You just want us to talk. And from that garden spot, we just begin talking. You're going to begin to talk. We're going to sense your presence. The focus is going to shift from us to you. And all of a sudden, in that secret place, you're very real. We could walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear nothing just because you're with us. And as we go to that secret place, we just sense that you're with us. And there's something about you're with us that causes fear to go. that perfect love that casts out fear. When your presence comes in, the fear just goes because you're with us. You're with us in this garden of life. Oh, Father, I just pray for the joy of prayer this year, that there will be a fresh perspective that this is why Jesus died and rose again, not just for the future, but for the here and now, so we can enjoy the garden with you. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.